Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
You're locked on Fast Break Friday on The V Show. Presented by AL81.
You can give it to your girl, or share with a squirrel. LA, the soft drink of tomorrow. LA, it's from another place. Crisp, clean, LA.
Emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV Network.
Says great lyrics are dead. You can share it with a squirrel or give it to your girl. That's one for the ages right there. It's Fast Break Friday. I think, since I'm home, as I am frequently, Paul Rogers is in the studio. Is that right?
Or present.
No, very nice. If you're absent, please call it out. Trying to get my throat ready to talk for a couple hours with my friend Paul as we get ready for... Boy, this is like a walk in the park for you. Just one event this weekend. Good
I know.
God.
I feel like
just
I'm on vacation.
Stealing money.
And then right, well, after they play on Saturday or on Sunday, they don't play again until the following Saturday.
I know. It's just it's good for you to for all of us to get a little break here. But I'm going to make a guest's choice today. You're not really guest. Co-host. That's a better choice. Co-host's choice today. We could talk about the UK U of L football game. We could talk about basketball's continued woes. We can talk about, frankly, the fact that volleyball, yay, has a chance again to make a deep run. Any damn thing you want to. So where would you want to start if you were in charge of the world today?
Well, all of those topics I think deserve to be discussed. Let's talk about some good stuff. Okay. The volleyball team.
Yeah, how about that?
I got to tell you, I got so caught up in them last year when they made that run, and I'll never forget watching the semifinal game with my wife, who's not really a big sports fan in any regard, and both of us were just on the edge of our seats to that whole thing. It was agony. I found out what the fans go through when they live and die with their team.
Yep. Yeah. They've put together quite a program. They play the first two rounds, I guess, as such as it is, the first weekend, I guess, in the tiny little building. That's not fair to say it that way, but the L&N Arena, which is certainly
cozy.
Not,
the cozy.
Yeah, it's very – it's a distinct home court.
Kind of like
advantage.
Watching a basketball game in the Lahaina Civic Center.
It is. That's a good way of putting it. And so I hope they take care of business there, and then they would move to the Yum Center. So they have a chance to make a deep run again. So, I mean, you know, we can hope for that anyway. We'll see if it plays out. And again, not to try and be, you know, diplomatic, but the fact of the matter is the team up the road is pretty good also. This state has become such a hotbed of women's volleyball. It's really great to see, to be honest with you. Western has a good team also.
Yeah, so, Louisville, Western, Louisville, Kentucky, and Western Kentucky, all three back in it again this year.
Yeah, so it's really good to see. So we'll see. Hopefully they can make a deep run there. They, you know, easy for me to say, as if they don't have enough challenges facing them. But it'd be so wonderful if they could get an arena kind of geared toward them, because the Yum Center is too big and L&N is too small. It's kind of like the three bears. They need one that's just right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where they'd put it and who would pay for it and if they could use it for anything else, but it would be great. Because I'm telling you, I've said this to you, and I've said it on the air, that should be, I really believe this, women's volleyball should be the focused premier professional sport in this country. No knock on women's basketball. It's great, and it's got a great following, and they certainly draw here. But the fact of the matter is, you know, almost every women's sport that's out there that you would pay attention to has a male counterpart that in many ways is to the general public more entertaining? I mean, that's probably fair to say, even though women's basketball is great fun to watch. You know, the people probably prefer to watch the men. And so while women's softball is very entertaining, if you like it, probably baseball is for more people, soccer the same way. But I'm telling you, women's volleyball is more entertaining to watch than the men. The points are longer. It's just, you like you said, you sit on the edge of your seat, especially if you have a rooting interest. I think that could be, and again, I'm not being callous here, but it's a very marketable, the girls tend to be tall, very attractive, marketable. You know, if you're going to make name, you know, household names out of these people, certainly it's no accident Tiger Woods had that 10,000 megawatt smile that he became so marketable, in addition to his ability to play. I'm telling you, this would be the sport. And somebody told me recently that they're trying to do that. I guess there is a professional league up and started somewhere, but I mean, you put a franchise in the places that play it really big, like it's really big in Nebraska, where Danny's from, Danny Busboom Kelly. It's big around here. In Pennsylvania, I know they have, Western PA is a big volleyball following. I think you could put a hell of a league together. That's just my thought.
It's a sport that translates well on television, too.
That's the other thing.
The court
right.
is small enough that it's a relatively confined area. You can follow the ball easily, unlike a hockey puck, which
True.
Gets lost.
Right.
So it's good on all fronts.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Who they play tonight? Right. They play somebody. Who the hell do they play? We should know that.
I'm going to check right now. Yes, it is tonight.
I'm going to race you. I'm going to beat you to it.
Okay.
It is.
You probably will.
Let's
you
know go see sports. Women's sports volleyball. Boom. They are playing tonight against Samford. And his son. No, I'm kidding. that's a reference for our generation. Somebody listening to this, what the hell is he talking about? 7 p.m. at the L&N Arena, and it's actually the second match on the slate. The opener is Purdue and Tennessee. So I imagine that thing must have been sold out in 2 seconds in that place. So we'll see. The NCAA bid was won by Samford with a 3-0 win over Furman in the Southern Conference title. So... he's won 5 Southern Conference championships, this coach, Keylor Chan. That's his name. They're 19-12 coming into this. And they are obviously decided underdogs in this. Who's the favorite in between Tennessee and Purdue? I don't know.
That I don't know. I've got the I can't find the actual bracket. I've got, you know, Louisville plays Samford tonight, but I don't have anything beyond that.
You know, yeah, they play, obviously, the winner of Tennessee and Purdue,
right.
And then the winner of that moves on. But I don't know, like you said, who's in their quadrant or whatever it may
and
be.
And last year when Louisville hosted, they played, remember, at Freedom Hall when they worked out the trade agreement with Bellarmine.
Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten about
but
that.
But now this that's time right. the Yum Center is available, and they will be able to play there should they get to
well,
that
let's
point.
Hope, let's survive in advance. They haven't gotten there yet. Let's get through this weekend first. So we'll see.
I've got the bracket. I'm trying to find everything. What are we looking for?
The whole volleyball bracket.
Well, you barge in like that, and they don't even know the hell you're asking. What is that?
What teams do you want? Western Kentucky advance?
No, Louisville. Who does Louisville – if Louisville were to get by out of this weekend where they play Samford, we just mentioned, tonight, and then they play the winner of Purdue-Tennessee, if they win. Obviously, if they lose, they go home. But if they win, they play the winner of Purdue-Tennessee. Then where – they would go to the Yum Center. Who are their potential matchups there?
That's my well, let's see. It looks like Baylor and Rice. They would take on the winner of that.
They've already played?
Well, there
has to be four teams.
Four teams.
Unless they've already played a match, maybe.
Yeah, they already have, yeah. Rice beat Colorado 3-1.
There you go.
Baylor
right.
beat, SFA. Help me out here. Sorry.
Stephen
F. Austin. Jeez, thank you. So, yeah, it's the number 4 seed Baylor taking on the number 5 seed Rice. And they would be taking on the winner of Louisville's bracket.
Okay, but there's 4 teams that would come here next weekend. Who are the other two?
The other two.
That's a good question.
Would be the winner of the 2 seed in the bracket, Nebraska, taking on Kansas.
Okay.
And then the other bracket hasn't got started yet.
So theoretically, Nebraska could come here. Danny would be going against her old team to go to the Final Four, which is in Omaha.
So. Nebraska, yes. It could be Nebraska. Baylor's a perennial powerhouse, right? They're pretty good, I think. And then, all right, the other bracket that's getting started today is number 6, Arkansas, facing Utah State. And then LMU, California, taking on number 3, Oregon. which I believe Louisville played Oregon earlier this season, right?
They did.
Yeah. So there you go. And then
still doesn't answer Paul's question though. Like, we're trying to figure out who the hell could be coming here next.
Well, week. I just said who could be coming here. Baylor and Rice. Okay. Now I'm getting pissed off. Baylor and Rice is one matchup. So the winner of that could be coming here. Is coming here.
Not could be. Is coming here.
Okay. Number two, Nebraska taking on Kansas. Those are the only ones we have set so far. So the winner of that could be coming here, or will be coming here. The winner of Baylor and Rice will be coming here. The other bracket is Arkansas and Utah State. Okay. And then LMU and Oregon.
So I don't see Oregon on Louisville's schedule this year.
Oh, okay. I thought they played San Diego.
That would be the West Coast team they played.
Okay. All right.
I thought they played Oregon too, though. Sadly mistaken.
Maybe I know.
They also played Stanford.
That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought that was a name brand.
They beat them 3-1. Yes. Yeah. Very good.
So Arkansas, Utah State, LMU, and Oregon are in the other bracket that's getting started today. What's interesting on the other side of the bracket. I don't know if you guys said this. Western beat Bowling Green, and Kentucky beat Loyola Chicago, which means they are both going to face one another.
Oh, they are?
Western, Kentucky, and UK.
And that's in Lexington, right?
Yeah, that's
I believe so, yes.
It's the Memorial Coliseum, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
So that's pretty tough on Western. They had to beat their own city? Bowling Green?
Yeah, I know, right? Bowling Green on Bowling Green crime. Absolutely.
All right, so we'll hope they make a deep run. We could use a little happy moment there. So,
for what it's worth, the only other teams that have advanced, Texas, the one seed, in their bracket, beat Fairleigh Dickinson. Georgia upset Towson, and it'll be Texas and Georgia facing off in the next round. Then Georgia Tech beat Wright State in straight sets. Marquette beat Ball State in straight sets. So it'll be Georgia Tech and Marquette.
I don't mean to be cruel. Hey, it's Seth Greenberg's alma mater, by the way. Fairleigh Dickinson, or as we used to call it in the Northeast, Fairleigh Ridiculous. So Fairleigh Ridiculous, their volleyball. Did they get a point against Texas? What was the score in that match?
I'd love to see that. It was. Let me see. They might have. Oh no, no, they lost straight sets.
Oh, that goes without saying. But did they get to 10?
I'm trying to see.
Did they get to 10 in any of the match sets?
I'm trying to see what the score was. Box score. I don't really have.
I mean, that's no disrespect, but that is the, you know, that's I was in that league, and they are the lowest level of Division I. It is. It's not a knock. It's just the reality, and I just can't fathom they've got women that can match up with some of the athletes that we see.
UMBC beat Virginia. Always remember.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
That's a good point. All right, let's see what Texas's result was. Here we go against the Fairleigh Dickinson. What the hell? The Knights. Oh, they were the Knights also. So
I'm ashamed to say I don't know how to read this box score.
Here we go. Well, I hate to be mean, but they got beat 25-6, 25-13. 25-13. So it wasn't not exactly on the edge of your seat kind of nail biter stuff. When you come out of the chute down 25-6.
Oh, there it is. Okay, yeah. I see it now.
You got issues. So Fairleigh Dickinson wraps up their season 17-16. Texas is 23-1 and number one in the country. So there you go.
23-1? So that's 24 matches. Louisville is 26-2. How do they get 8 more matches?
Texas is, you know, they don't have a lot of money there.
No, they don't. They're probably scrapping. They need a home game.
They definitely had to scrap a few, no question about that. It is Fast Break Friday, and Paul Rogers is here with us. What would you take away from the feetball matchup in Lexington? We'll start there, I guess.
Yeah, I was, you know, I compare the Kentucky game and the Clemson game very much the same. In each case, I went into the game thinking there was hope that Louisville could actually win those games. Then as I watched the games, I realized we're better, but we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. So I was a little disappointed, but not devastated by the loss, not totally surprised by it. In the end, you got a team that finished 7-5, and that's pretty much what people were hoping for when the season started. You know, maybe you could squeeze out 8, and they came real close to 8, a one-point loss to Boston College and a close loss to Florida State. But, you know, the season – in the end was, I think, about what people thought it would be, and they were hoping it would be good enough to get to a bowl game and keep you excited about the recruiting class coming in for next year. So that's where we are now, waiting to find out a bowl game, which I guess we'll find out on Sunday.
How do you feel if you go to Boston for the Fenway Bowl?
Well, first off, there's a basketball game that same day, so that would be tricky. I would definitely go to football, but right now we don't have. You might do the basketball game by yourself.
Wow.
I've always said if you can't go to, you know, one of the really major bowls, go to some place that's different or unique. And certainly, I think to do a football game in Fenway Park would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Plus,
in fact, it'd be kind of cold.
Well, that's the thing. I said the drawbacks are it's going to be hard for the fans to drive to. Obviously, it's a long way away, and it's going to be cold. Make no mistake about it; it's going to be very cold. But the cool side is, it's a venue that will, like you said, will. You're not just going to say you went into some generic cookie cutter stadium. It is. It's a very cool place. We've been there, and I think Louisville fans will appreciate this. Right around the stadium, it is a neighborhood, so you can come out and there's places to eat and drink and you walk around a little bit. And I think that part's cool. There's a bunch of little bars and pubs and places. It's not like some of these stadiums were built, you know, with the idea of cars and they're out in the middle. And like that, as nice as the two venues are, where the Chiefs and the Royals play in Kansas City is at the intersection of, I think, two interstates, and there's nothing around. It's just the stadiums. It's the stadiums and a gigantic parking lot, and that's it. Not this. This is old. You know, this stadium goes back to the early 1900s. It's built with a weird shape because they had to jerry-rig it in between city streets, and I think you'll like that.
I've never been to Fenway. We've driven past it many times when we've been there for football and basketball games, but I've never actually been in the stadium, so I would look forward to that. Beyond that, I've always had kind of an infatuation. You've heard me talk about this before with the Sun Bowl.
I agree with you.
I hear that El Paso really embraces that in a very sociable manner, and it's just a unique setting. I always think of that mountain right next to the stadium and a crisp, sunny day. And then, of course, the Holiday Bowl has been mentioned. Anybody would like to go to San Diego.
Yes, absolutely.
So what's, you know, wherever they go, I'll be there, and I'll be happy to watch another football game.
Holiday Bowl, that is, as much as I love Fenway and going to Boston, I might put that number one on the list. You get a chance to go to San Diego, you got to be kidding me. That's like going back to Maui. That is, we were laughing about that, you know, they were one of the teams in Maui, and we thought they must have gotten off the plane and said, meh. So,
yeah, why bother?
We just left this.
Although as beautiful as San Diego is, Maui is just one of the most gorgeous places I've ever been.
It's everywhere
you turn around, you're looking out across the water to Lanai or any of the other islands, the sun, the rainbows every time you turn around.
It's
just
really
a very picturesque place.
I've never seen so many rainbows in my life. I swear, it's not an exaggeration. It's like one every 15 minutes, which is explains Hawaii's nickname now, by the way. I never really understood that before. Now I get it. Do you want to delve into the quagmire that is Louisville basketball? Are you ready for it? Did you take a deep breath?
You know, I think we all get I'll admit, by the end of the game the other night, I was a little bit discouraged. I think it's hard not to be. And then I do a Kenny Payne show last night, and the guy is just so darn upbeat and positive and committed to doing this the way he wants to do it that I kind of get my optimism back. And I don't mean he's, you know, all sunshines and rainbows and doesn't recognize the challenge, that he's oblivious to what's going on. He's not. But he's just so firm in his belief. I'm not sure people give him enough credit for his knowledge of the game. He talks a lot about, you know, the culture and the being confident and all the mental stuff, but he understands the game too. I've seen him point out things in practice and in games and very fine points about what they're doing and what they should be doing, and it's as puzzling to him as it is to the rest of us why. For some reason, the message isn't always getting through. He told a story last night and in the post-game interview the other night, Bob. I don't know if you heard it or not. And I'll mention the players because he did. They were coming down the floor to run a play, and Mike James and Jalen Withers are on opposite sides of the floor, and every time they run this play, I don't remember who's on which side, but they're on a certain side, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, they come down the floor, and they're each on the wrong side of the floor. And he was just, how does this happen? How do these things get lost and confused? And it's a challenge to him and to everybody. But
I actually have that soundbite if you'd like it.
If you want to, that'd be fine.
Yeah,
this is from last night of the postgame show.
This is from last night, the Kenny Payne show.
Yeah, he told that last night, and he had actually told Jody and me in the postgame. Yeah, go ahead and play that.
Very, very frustrating at times, but I have to remember I'm meeting these kids for the first time. I'm the first-time head coach, and I'm in their life, and it's only been a few months. And so, for example, we run a play. We run it every day since August. Since August. And every time, Mike James is on the right side, Jalen is on the left side. Well, for the first time ever in history that we've been together, they flip-flop it. And I'm like, that's not the play. What are you doing? How could you be in that much of a panic, that much of a rush? But that's what – that lets you know, and this is really important for people to hear, we're not dealing with robots.
Right, for
sure. We're dealing with human beings that they're young and they hadn't formed yet, and mentally they go through challenges and self-doubt and confidence and overconfident, and, you know, it's just the emotions of the game.
I hear that, and I think what parent hasn't watched their kids do something specifically they were told not to do, or they don't do something specifically they're told to do, and you just kind of shake your head and go, "What's in that brain?" But
I remember
coaching,
my brother used to tell a story that I still think is very funny. But they were playing Ralph Sampson, and they were playing a 2-3 zone, and they had spent the entire pregame and the practice talking about. When Ray Sampson was on the low post, the back man on the zone, on NC State zone, was not supposed to go out to the corner. Supposed to stay in so that he would be defending Sampson in front, then they would have a defender behind, and he was supposed to stay in. That was the whole key to trying to – it was kind of a built-in double team. So Sampson had a defender in front of him and got a defender behind him. So don't go to the corner. Don't go to the corner. You know, I'm not even sure they had a three-point shot yet, maybe, but whatever. That was kind of daring them. Try and beat us outside. Don't you know, let the ball go into Ralph. So they're playing, and I can't remember the kid's last name, and I could see him in my mind. Scott something or other. I could look it up. But they're playing. his assistant used to tell this story because I think it's funny anyway. You know, Jimmy's getting cranked. The ball's going to the corner. The kid Scott on the back, Louisville's kid, NC State's back man, is going to the corner. And he's screaming from the bench, "Scott, stay in. Stop, stay in. Scott, stay in." And then they go down and the ball goes to the corner. He runs out again. And so as this little, you know, they're coming down the floor and there's a little break. There's a foul or something. And so Jim gets up off the bench and walks to meet the kid like by the midcourt circle. And he's saying, you know, "Scott, what are you doing?" And so you can see the kind of animated conversation, and Jim suddenly gets calm and comes back to the bench. And the assistant says, what did you say? He said, "I said to him, you know, Scott, what are you doing?" And he said, "Coach, I got to go to the corner. I got to go to the corner." And the assistants all looked at him stunned and said, "So what'd you say?" And he said, "I said, so go." I'm not sure why it was so urgent to you at that moment, but we don't have time to discuss it, so go. But, you know, that's absolutely the truth. He's right. They're not machines. It's not a video game, and they don't always do exactly what you draw up. Bill Foster might have been the guy to coin the phrase. I remember him talking about it, the late Bill Foster, called it game slippage. That's what it is.
Denny Crum's where I heard that term from.
Okay, well, then they were both of the same generation. Yeah. I don't know, maybe.
And Jerry Jones used to have this saying that it's a really long way from the bench to the court because so many things that are forgotten in those few steps.
That's another way of putting it. It's all true. I mean, it is. It really is. So having said that, there's some truth to that, but everybody has to play around that. I'll be candid with you, and I hope this doesn't sound like, heresy. I was amazed how often, you know, when Pitino is here, who's supposed to be, and is, I mean, not supposed to be, I'm not saying he's a left-handed compliment, he is Hall of Fame coach, he's a brilliant tactician, he's, you know, very, very forceful and demanding, how much stuff would go completely by the boards from when it left his instruction to the court. I mean, there were things that were not even close to what he really wanted them to do, but that's just the way it is, no matter what level it is. And you've got to find that fine line to allow for some game slippage without allowing it to be chaos. And obviously, I thought he did a really good job of that. And, you know, Kenny's finding his way to do that. But I just think, Paul, I've got almost become obsessed with talking about this because people are all acting so flabbergasted at that. And I get it. You know, they're 0-7 and I don't know, what is that, like five Division I teams in the country that don't have at least one win. And so there's a whole bunch of reasons that you can, you know, just hang your head in dismay. But the fact of the matter is, it's not that mysterious. Have you looked at what the guys who left are doing? I mean, have you looked at what those guys are doing?
I've seen a few. I know
Dre Davis and his brother are the leading scorer and leading rebounder in each collectively at Seton Hall. Matt Cross went against he's at UMass. He played a game the other day. He had 14 rebounds. He had double-double. He had, like, I don't know, 12 points and 14 rebounds. Sam Williamson is – Nick looked this one up. I don't have his numbers off the top of my head, but he's been
– He's at SMU, I think.
Yeah, SMU. Yeah,
Under 9 points and boards a game.
Eight boards. And then good old Noah Locke is going for double digits a game over in at the Providence. I mean, so – You know, it's. Do you think if you put those guys in the lineup here, it might have made a difference? I mean, that's how it got to this point. Now, if you want to be critical, you could say, well, he couldn't convince those guys to stay. Well, I'm not sure anybody could, given all the chaos that had gone on here, but okay. He didn't go out and replace them in the transfer portal the way he could have. All right, that may be accurate too, but we don't know what was going on there. Maybe, you know, everybody they got close with suddenly looked at and said, hey, you guys are going to get the, you know, you got the sword of Damocles hanging right over your heads here. You're going to be not playing in the tournament. I don't want to go there. Maybe that's how it played out. I don't know, but the people acting like it's some sort of, you know, Agatha Christie mystery. I mean, it's not that complicated. People say, well, you know, Maryland played with an interim coach last year too, and now look where they didn't go. I don't think they lost their whole team. I don't think all those guys left, and I imagine maybe Kevin had some more success bringing some people in because they were not staring at an NCAA suspension like Louisville was. I mean, hell, there were people you know how cutthroat recruiting is. You don't think there were people saying, well, I don't, they may get the death penalty. You may go there and they may not even have a team. I mean, you don't think that persuades kids? I know everybody wants to talk about how Kenny hasn't embraced NIL, and maybe to some degree. That's an observation. We can only go by a man owns what he says, and you know, he said that, and he didn't sound like he embraced it. And the fans threw their hands up because they think maybe correctly that is a very deciding factor in where kids go. I don't know. Again, you didn't sit in those meetings. I didn't sit in those meetings. We don't know what transpired.
All I know in that regard, because you do hear that a lot, that you know he hasn't embraced NIL. He's not using it to his advantage. I know in every meeting with recruits, there is a presentation that addresses those things. Kenny's only point has been, and I agree with it personally, maybe it's not necessarily the modern way, but he is saying, we don't want you coming here for NIL. Exactly. We want you coming here because you want to come here, and when you're here, boy, there's a lot of opportunities for you in NIL. It's just switching the order, I guess, the cart before the horse, however you want to put it. We want you to be here. We want you to want to be here. And if that works out, then, man, there's a lot of opportunities for you here. Both right now, you could say, you know, the biggest appeal you would have to a recruit who wants to play is, hey, you think you can't come in here and play some? We can use you. So that's hopefully the way things will go in the future. They now have the clear ability to recruit guys without that question hanging over the head about, is there going to be a postseason ban? Will there be penalties? Guys know they can come here. They can play, and they can play in the postseason. So I think that's – it's not happening instantaneously, and that's what got some people upset. But I think Kenny deserves the right to do this in the way he wants to do it. And, you know, if it doesn't work you'll know in 2 or 3 years. People probably don't want to wait that long, but I just think you got to give him that opportunity to do this thing the way he wants to do it.
I think back to when Louisville lost to when they face planted against Syracuse and then they lost to Boston College. You know, the despair, for lack of a better word, on the fan base was palpable, and you were either despondent or you were irate. There was kind of nowhere else. Those are the only two options on the menu, and people were talking about this team will be lucky to win 3 games. And I'll be honest with you, I was a little concerned. I was like, how many games is this team going to win? You know, good Lord. And here they are staring at, you know, a chance to go to a bowl game and have a winning season. And it's certainly not the ceiling, but it's certainly nothing to be embarrassed about, especially given the difficult schedule they had at the end of the year. So, yeah, I mean, you just don't know. The question I would have for you, and it's ominous, but I'll be candid with you. You had a Malik Cunningham. You had places where you could hang your hat, even if they didn't look very good early. So in the back of your mind, you thought, well, there's things that if he can get to, if Satterfield could get to, this team can make some strides. I don't know where you hang your hat with this basketball team right now because they don't guard. They're not rebounding well. L, for all the good things he does, he's ill-suited to be playing the point. I don't know where you hang your hat is my concern. And so I don't know what Kenny taps into that like Satterfield did. The defense really stepped up, my God. And, you know, and they got good offensive performances from guys they needed to. I don't know where basketball is hanging their hat right now. And that's the concern. And so you have been part of that. You broadcast the football games and you broadcast the basketball games. And so you were around the aura around those two teams. Can you compare them? Is basketball, I hate to say it, more hopeless in perception, or are they about the same, or what do you make of all that?
I would agree with you that with basketball, it's hard to know what can change dramatically. In football, oddly enough, the first thing you mentioned there was, you got Malik Cunningham. Well, Malik never did really put together the season that people were expecting from him, and I think injuries are a big reason why. But I did feel they could and should be better defensively than they were the first part of the season, and it turned out they were. They were much better. They started, the turnovers were the spectacular thing, but beyond that, they just started playing solid on the defensive side, and they needed to because the offense really never did was as productive or efficient or as explosive as it has been in the past. So anyway, you turned to the defense and kind of started there and then got enough everywhere else. With Louisville basketball, I'm with you. You kind of watch and say, well, what's going to get better? What can turn this around? And the one thing I will say, and I'm not saying these guys are going to come in and save the season, but the best part of the Maryland game was the latter stages of the game when Devin Rhee and Fabio Basile came in and played with energy, played with a freedom, played with a recklessness to a degree. I mean recklessness in a good sense, not crazy careless, but played in a kind of a devil-may-care attitude. I'm going to go out here and make something happen. Now, yes, it was late in the game, but actually Kevin had the starters in for a good part of that. The crowd woke up. People appreciated the effort. I'm not saying they're going to come out here and start on Sunday, but I think you might well see those guys become a more regular part of this team, and hopefully what they do is contagious to the other guys. You want to see guys sprinting down the court, diving on the floor for loose balls, and just playing the game with a freedom and uninhibited, not thinking. Go play the game. Go have fun with it.
Not to put a lick the sprinkles off the donut, as Nick would say, but it's easy to do that when the game is out of reach.
Yes,
and I mean, there's nothing to lose, basically. So we'll see. But I do think that the ceiling for the lineup as it's comprised right now is pretty low. L is putting points up, but his shooting percentage is not good, and his assist-to-turnover ratio is atrocious, and he's not really making anybody better. He's not suited to what they're asking him to do. He's a good player, but this is not what he should be doing. And so if they could get some – I think Hersey has shown progress a lot. And, and now maybe Fabio will be that guy. I don't know. But they got to get him off the ball, meaning L, off the ball more, I think.
The other night, Hersey, again, was zero in the plus-minus, which doesn't blow your doors off, but it's a lot better being minus 25 or whatever the game was. And Kelly Dickey put out a stat.
I saw that stat.
I don't remember the exact number, but it's mind-boggling. The plus-minus for the season, when you had it all up with Hersey Miller and everybody else. So I don't – it's one of those intangible things that he just does the right thing, gets other guys in the right spot. Other guys play well with him in there, but maybe he needs to be on the floor more.
Well, he's more of a point guard than L is. I mean, L can score off a ball screen better than anybody they have, and in a lot of people's minds, I think they interpret that as well. It means he's a point guard. He's not, though. He's a guy who can create his own shot and can score off of two-man games better than – two-man game situations maybe better than anybody on the roster, but doesn't make him a point guard. I think Hersey's got more of a point guard mentality, and I think maybe that's what they need right now. They need a game manager. They need a game. That's how they're going to have to win, it looks to me. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm completely off, but I don't see them winning a track meet against anybody. I don't think they're going to come out and, you know, just suddenly start filling it up and win 92-87. They're going to have to manage the game, not turn the ball over as much, and find a defensive cohesiveness that, you know, gives them a chance. That's what they've got to do. They've got to be able to trade punches, Paul. You know, they have these stretches where the game's competitive, and then for 5 minutes they're awful, and you look at the scoreboard and they're down 15, and it's so quick, it happens so fast. You know, in Maui, one of the games, I don't remember, they all run together, but you know, doing my segment thing, the first three segments were like +1, -2, -3, and then the last two segments of the first half and the first one of the second half were like -8, -8, -7, and that's it, and you're done. I mean, they just got to find a way to not get avalanched. So
I asked Kenny, I think maybe it was on the pregame show before the Maryland game, I'm not sure, but my question essentially was, and I don't like separating, the game all goes together, offense, defense, special teams, kicking game, et cetera. You know how that plays. But I said, what hurts you more, the defensive lapses or when your offense goes into a funk? And you know Kenny's commitment to defense. He talked okay. about it. It's defense. But I got to tell you, there are times to me that I know you have defensive lapses, but the offense just goes so in the tank,
yes.
throwing up bad shots,
yep.
Throwing the ball away with careless passes. I kind of feel like that offensively is where they need to pick it up and get more consistency somehow, just make some shots. I'm not sure there's any real good shooters on this team. I think Mike James is. I think I don't know if I've ever classified L a great shooter. He's a scorer, but I don't think he's a great shooter. And having not seen, you know, enough of the others, really, I don't know where the good shooters are on this team, which makes it all the more important to make sure you get the right shots.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It goes back to what we said at the very start of this whole segment. They have no place to hang their hat yet. So in other words, if they were a team that, you know, could just score in bunches, but they had some defensive lapses, well, the offense could keep them in it. You know, they could make a couple of, they hit a couple of threes, and so you say, boy, that defensive stretch was really bad there, but they lost, you know, 4 points in that stretch because they made some shots, but they can't hang their hat there. So, you know, Kenny says it, that they're a team that has a very small margin for error, because if they don't play defense very well, their offense is not going to carry them through. So, and if they, you know, and if they're playing defense well, but they're not scoring, you and I talked about, again, the games have all run together so far in the season, but where they had a good stretch of defense, they were turning the other team over, and you looked at the scoreboard and they were only up like 2, and you said to yourself, they should be up about 8 or 9 here. It must have been one of those early games, and you know, their offense would just go on the fritz. So you know, they're going to have to find some way to give themselves a little bit wider margin for error, and I'm easy to say, I'm not so easy to do, whether that's you know, pressing in spots and trying to create some turnovers and getting some easy baskets that way, or frankly, junking the game up a little bit so that that gives you a margin of error because the other team doesn't get quite so many possessions. You can hang around, steal.
Which game was it in Hawaii that it was late in the game? I know when the game was pretty much over, but they went to a full court press and got a little erratic on the defensive end, created some havoc, and I kind of liked that. I don't know if that's something you can do for a whole game or not, but it showed that maybe that's something they can do some or more of.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we are late for a bottom of the hour break. We're presented on the Fast Break Friday is by our friends at L8, Kentucky's ginger soft drink since 1926, and it's awfully tasty. I'd like to have one right now, but I don't. But you should get one, and we're going to talk a little bit about the conference championship games in college football coming up as well. So we'll do that, and we got to get back to our picks. I have my unbelievable little pad made its way all the way to Hawaii and back. And still got the score going right now, and I especially don't want to lose it because I'm ahead right now.
Yeah, you got the lead now, don't you?
33-31. I'm ahead by 2. So we'll see. We'll make some picks for this week, and maybe we'll pick we'll incorporate the conference championship games.
I was thinking about this. We'll maybe have to pick the same games. We both pick the conference championship games because I don't know what else there is to pick from.
That's a good point. Let's go take a look-see what's on there. I'll do that during the break, and we'll roll on. Thank you for being with us on a Fast Break Friday here on ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday, presented by AL81.
Crisp, clean, L.A.
Emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV Network.
You can share it with a squirrel. You can give it to your girl. Those are lyrics. That's what I'm talking about. That's L.A.
Kentucky's original ginger soft drink since 1926.
I'm beginning to dig this ad campaign, the crazy lyrics to that song. Catchy.
Well, the fact they mixed them to rock and pop music and trap and everything like that. And yeah, so it's a lot of fun. By the way, Jack had a great line. Yeah, you might have heard the Sports Center there, but he came back in here. He said, this is perfect. He's like, Cincinnati and Louisville, two schools 90 minutes apart from one another. Played a basketball game in Hawaii and are going to play a football game in Fenway Park.
In Boston. That's a good point. So evidently when he said that, so that's a done deal now? Because we were talking earlier, maybe going to San Diego, maybe you're going to Boston.
I don't know if anything's done. That's the one that seems to be most talked about now. I'm not sure where that's coming from.
Well, Justin Williams of the Athletic said that sources, I mean, it's not official, you're right, but sources were saying that it is going to be Louisville and Cincy in the Wasabi Fenway Bowl, and then that was backed up by Pat Forte of SI.
It's happening. That game is what day?
I believe December
17th.
Yes,
and that's the same day they play Florida A&M in basketball.
Ooh.
And Nick Curran is not available. He's out with a women's game.
Oh, so man, give me a chance. Give me my chance, coach. Put me in.
All right, you want to do it by yourself? You're welcome.
No, not by myself, but I'd like to play. I'll do play-by-play for GO.
Who are you going to bring in for color?
Get Dan McDonald like you did that one time. There you go. He's got some experience.
Dan would dig it. He really loves basketball. He does. Doing it myself.
We've told this story before that a few years ago when we went to the Bahamas, and I was there for two games, but I had to miss the third game to come back for a football game. And we were trying to figure out what we were going to do. And we were actually on the flight down there, and I saw Dan. I said, hey, I got an idea. Mentioned what he'd like to do. And he said, yeah. So you and he did the game together. And Louisville had a horrible collapse right at the end of the game and lost it.
Lost.
And you turned to Dan. Dan tells a story, hilarious. You turned to Dan and say, okay, Dan, you get to go talk to Coach Pitino. He said, no way. I'm having nothing to do with that.
Yes, that was the look of abject horror on his face. It was like, I didn't sign up for that. Yeah, that was. I remember that. That was intriguing. Because that whole thing was weird, because you played in a ballroom, remember? It was not like an arena. The game was in like a hotel ballroom, right?
I
thought it was cool.
It's funky. Really funky looking on TV because of the lighting. But I tell people it's a lot nicer than it looks on TV.
Yeah, no, it's true.
It seats about 4,000, which is bigger than the Maui Gym, and it's all right there at the resort. You never have to leave. You pass other fans and other teams on your way to and from the games, and it's a whole lot easier flight to get there too.
That's true. So that's for sure.
I love that tournament.
Although I was amazed, the flight. I don't know, maybe because I was on drugs. the flight seemed to go by pretty quickly. And considering we're not complaining. I'm not.
You were on drugs. It was not quick.
Yes, we were in the worst seats. I mean, Paul literally was in the back corner.
I don't mind that.
I know. I was just saying that, especially when the plane doesn't bounce. That was, and the flights were pretty smooth, so not so bad. Not so terrible. We had the other corner, and we were the two linchpins on the corner there. So anyway, we'll wait and see if it's official. But December 17th, going to Boston for the Fenway Bowl. And by the way, as Brett McMurphy pointed out, since this game has been announced and not played, right? Because it was canceled for COVID. I don't think they've ever played the damn thing.
You might be right. I'm not sure, but I think you're right. Now, last year, they didn't call the game because of COVID. One of the teams had to cancel because of COVID. I forgot. Was it Virginia, maybe? Or no, it was whoever Virginia was going to play.
Play, yeah. And so there hasn't been a guess. So you guys get the first touchdown in that game, and you'll be the answer to a trivia question. John Salzman writes us, so is the keg of nails on the is that also on the line?
That's interesting.
I don't know. I'll have to figure that out. There's more football going on, by the way, than you'd think. Division I football starting tonight, Division I-A. And we'll use them all. They'll all be in play. The mighty 2-9 Akron team takes on Buffalo. My guess is this is a makeup game, and they have to play because Buffalo needs it to be bowl eligible.
No.
They're 5-6, so that game is won. North is Texas
that was that the one that was canceled because of the heavy snow a couple of weeks ago?
Might have been. I don't know. Probably it's in Buffalo, so that would make sense. Yeah. So Buffalo is a 12.5-point favorite, so there will that'll be one of the games on the docket. North Texas and UTSA is the Conference USA Championship. The Pac-12 Championship is Utah and USC. Tomorrow are a slew of championship games, so we got a lot of games to pick from. We've got the Big 12 Championship, Kansas State and TCU, the MAC Championship, Toledo and Ohio. This is just a game. My guess is these teams are playing it because they want to be bowl eligible, my guess. Valpo at 5-6 and New Mexico State at 5-6. How did that game come about? That must have been they must have just thrown it at the end of the schedule.
What conference is Valpo and New Mexico State?
That's what I'm wondering. That's Valpo. Valpo's not even, there's no way they're in the same schedule.
I'm sorry, I didn't even know they played football.
I think they play 1AA football. That's the weird thing.
Oh.
They play, aren't they in that goofy league with like Butler and,
is that the Summit?
And Marist? Or... Yeah, they're in all those leagues. So I don't know how they got on this deal, but maybe New Mexico State said, we'll give you a lot of money to come out here. Yeah, because they had their game with San Jose State postponed, and so now they lost their chance to get bowl eligible because they're 5-6. So maybe they said, hey, Valpo, we'll write you a check. You want to? Because they have a 97% chance to win, according to the ESPN matchup. They don't even have a spread on this game. So Valpo's like, okay, we'll go out there and take your money. Troy plays Coastal Carolina in the Sun Belt Championship. That's actually a decent game. And then the SEC Championships, Georgia and LSU. The American is UCF and Tulane. The Mountain West is Fresno and Boise. Big Ten is the Fighting Jeff Broms against Michigan. And then the ACC Championship is Clemson and North Carolina. So that's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 games there. So we got plenty to pick from to give each other and give each other some stuff going down the stretch and then do an NFL game. So plenty on the line there. So we'll see how that plays out going forward. I do have a problem that these conference championship games don't mean anything. It irks me. And I had this discussion with Brett McMurphy, because they created them for one reason and one reason only. We know what that reason is. It's money. These games make money. They get TV ratings. They sell tickets. And, okay, that's all well and good. But then in the big picture, like, he was going through a scenario where a team could lose its conference championship game tomorrow and still advance.
I think that's the case for Georgia, most likely.
And arguably, somebody suggested, depending how it plays out for TCU, a one-loss TCU team in a very good Big 12, might they still go? And I don't know. There's just something about losing a championship game and then still going on that strikes me as very odd.
How about if Michigan lost?
That's another example. Yeah, I mean, so the whole thing is just goofy, these games. And they don't apologize for them because, obviously, they make money. But, don't tell us that they're important then. It strikes me as, this is really what strikes me as, college basketball is college football in reverse. The college football, supposedly, the greatest regular season, blah, blah, and then they get to all these postseason games where the kids not even sure they're going to play. Will Levis, man, maybe I'll play, maybe I won't play. They don't even play in the games. And the ones they designate, I would say, okay, well, some of them, though, mean something, right? Like, these are conference championships. Don't they mean anything? Nah, not really. They don't mean anything either. So they're glorified exhibition games. Basketball does all of those at the beginning of the year. Basketball plays all of their quote-unquote bowl games before the season starts. That's what they do. They just don't bother with the regular season for these games that are exhibitions. They set them up ahead of time.
Well,
so we get the matchups.
Somebody made the point 2 or 3 years ago. I'm trying to think who it was. It might have been West Durham. But the point was these first games of the football season that are, the Chick-fil-A kickoff classic. Louisville played Alabama 1 year. Last year they played Ole Miss. In Atlanta, they played Alabama down in Orlando 1 year. That those were, in a sense, kind of becoming the bowl games. They kick off the season, the fans go, they have a big time, everybody plays, because by the time you get to the end of the season, we all know, if Louisville goes to the Fenway Bowl, which is not a major bowl game, who's going to opt out of this game for both teams? Who's going to say, well, yeah, you know, never mind?
That bothers me.
Jack just said Tyon Evans has left Louisville to clear for the NFL draft. Now, I don't think he was going to play anyway because I think he's hurt. But
that whole thing strikes me as very odd. I agree with you. It's just I don't know. To some degree, the whole end of the college football year is kind of, I don't know what the word would be. It's not a contradiction, but like, for example, the naive person like me says, bowl games, yay, it's a reward, let's go, fantastic. The more sophisticated fan, and now the players say, no, they're meaningless games, and the players are not even sure they're going to play. And so then you say, okay, well, I don't want to sound like a, you know, some dumb hokum, so okay, well, I'm not going to treat these games seriously either. And then I watched the video. Did you see the video of, I don't know, it might have been New Mexico State. They petitioned that's why I'm surprised New Mexico State's playing. They petitioned the NCAA because they had 5 wins and they lost a game late because of something. I don't remember what the hell happened.
They lost playing the game. Not
that's what I meant. They didn't lose a game. I meant they lost the opportunity to play because of the tragic shootings, which was awful. And so they'd shown a video, and the coach is standing in front of the team. Now, keep in mind, we've been talking about how these games are quote-unquote meaningless. They're not going to go to some big bowl game. They're 5-6. But he said, I just want to announce today that the NCAA approved our waiver, and we're going bowling. And the whole place erupted. The kids were all excited. And so that, to me, is always we always seem to forget the kids in the equation. Do they want to play? And the majority of them, I think, want to play. Don't they? I don't know. Maybe the stars don't. Maybe it's another way of posturing about how I'm special. I'm not going to play in this game.
That's the problem. Well, I hate it when guys opt out of bowl games. But then, do you remember last year, Matt Corral at Ole Miss said, good for him. He's going to play in the bowl game. And then he got a bad knee injury in the game.
Yep.
So you kind of go, well, I kind of see their point now. So,
yeah, you got to be somebody will insure you. There's got to be a place you can take like $1 million insurance policy or something, and get an NIL deal for that. And then if you get hurt, you're still going to be a millionaire. And if you don't, you got to play with your kids one more go round. And it's a damning statement about the sport itself, if you think about it, that kids don't want to play one game because of the chance they're going to ruin their lives.
I really was a little surprised because we've kind of been trending the last few years where you never even thought about opting out of a bowl game, and then a few people did, and then more people did, and I started thinking, well, what if a team's having a losing season, and with 4 games left, the guy says, okay, I've had enough, I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't want to get hurt. I mean, where do you draw the line on this?
Well, we were talking about I know we got to get to a break, but we were talking about this yesterday in relation to NIL. Because like Nick was bringing up, like for example, you know, the folks at L8 signed Will Levis to a deal. Well, and he says, well, I don't feel like playing in a bowl game. Do they have a right to say, well, yes, you are. I mean, you're playing in a bowl game because that's why we paid you all that money.
Or, well, that's a good point.
You know, and how much of a conflict comes into when a team, you know, wants a guy to play and maybe the sponsor doesn't want to play or something. I mean, who are they? Because that's the difference. I mean, in the pros, the people who pay you are the same people you're answering to when it comes to playing. It's just, it's one entity that your company, quote unquote, is paying you, and they decide what your role is on the roster, and there you go. In college, that's not going to be the case. You're going to have a coach who's trying to figure out how to play, who to play, and how to give his team the best chance to win, but he's not actually paying the player. I mean, you know, arguably, yeah, the scholarship, but the NIL people are the ones that are paying. And suppose a guy transfers. What does that do? Does his NIL go with him? I imagine it's like any other contract. I mean, like I've said before, this is professional sports being played with a university affiliation. That's what it is. That's whether you like it or not, that's the reality. So my guess is, Paul, there must be clauses in the contracts, right? I mean, this must be, you get a bonus if you play in bowl games, and if you transfer, this deal is null and void or something, I would guess, right? I mean, how else can you do it?
I have no idea. That's the Pandora's box, that's for sure.
And I don't know how coaches navigate through that. I mean, because really, without being nasty, the kid is answering to 2 different masters. Like I said, in the pros, he's answering to 1. He's answering to his organization. That's it. That's who he's got to answer to. And here, he's answering to – because I was bringing up, like,
You know, I don't know if you know the woman. She's a very pretty young girl. She's a millionaire. She's a gymnast at LSU. Her name is Olivia Dunn. Have you seen this story about her?
No.
She's from New Jersey. She literally has, Nick, what is it, like a million Instagram followers or something?
I think it's 5.5 on Instagram, or 5.5 on TikTok, 2 million on Instagram, though.
And whoever is managing her and her social things, she gets it clearly, and so do the people in charge. I mean, she's a beautiful girl. She's a gymnast, obviously. You know, they're attractive girls to begin with. And she poses all the time in swimsuits and things that are you know, sexy without being distasteful. And so she's got a million people who follow her. And I always wonder about that. Like, you know, in the SEC, gymnastics is a pretty big deal. You know, it is. And it's a team sport that is obviously rooted in individual talents. How does a coach navigate through that? I mean, you know, like when they go on the road, and if she falls off a piece of apparatus, fans are generally, you know, they're so nice and concerned about the opposing team. I mean, the amount of ugliness that'll come raining down on her, I would think, from whoever's rooting for the home team about, yeah, you're a million, why don't you go pose in another swimsuit or something? And then how does a coach navigate through that? You know, do they get, are the other gymnasts, for example, jealous, or that do they look at her and say, boy, she's showing the way to do it? Or, I mean, those are things that there's nobody who got into coaching that is equipped to deal with these things. None. I mean, because you can't say, well, I remember how Denny dealt with NIL. There was no NIL. I mean, so there's no mentorship that can get you through this. So we are clearly going down a very different path here, because think about it. I'm going to guess, and I'm not exaggerating this, Olivia Dunn, is that what I said her name was, or is that the actress?
Yes. Olivia Munn's the actress. Yeah. Olivia Dunn's the gymnast.
Olivia Dunn probably makes appreciably more money than the coach, right?
I mean, probably.
What does the gymnastics coach at LSU make? Not making $1 million, right? So, I mean, think about that. When has that ever gone on before? So, I don't know. It's just, there are answers that are going to have to come, and people like Kenny evidently are going to have to get them, because, like you said, we don't really know where he weighs in on this, although you did say they definitely bring it up when they have recruits there. But it ain't your grandfather's landscape anymore, that's for sure. So,
Nick is yelling. I wouldn't want to deal with it as a coach.
No, seriously, coaching right now is just, good Lord, it is. They deserve every penny they're getting, these guys. We'll take a break. We're late for a break. We'll do that. We'll come back. We got a lot more to go. Stay with us as we roll on here on Fast Break Friday, presented by L8, Kentucky's Ginger. Is it official ginger soft drink? What's the copy?
Original
ginger soft drink since 1926. Stay with us here. Paul Rogers, Bob Valvano, Fast Break Friday.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.